Hello, I'm Dawn Durham, and welcome to Patent Pod. We've talked on this program before with Dr. Louisa Motes about what teachers need to know in order to provide effective instruction to our beginning readers. Dr. Motes shared that teachers have to understand the complexities of reading and reading acquisition. Joining me today is Emily Hanford, a producer and correspondent for APM Reports. You may recognize her name from the article, Hard Words, Why Aren't Kids Being Taught to Read? This particular article brought much-needed attention to teacher knowledge, specifically around the science of reading. Thank you, Emily, for talking with us today. We appreciate you taking time to talk with us about what you've learned in the field about teaching and reading acquisition for our students.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let's start by thinking about what prompted you to dig into this work, to start looking at how are kids reading and how are teachers prepared to teach kids how to read.
So I had been an education reporter for about a decade when I first started getting really interested in how kids learn to read and how they're being taught to read. So it was about 2.5 years ago, and I was actually doing a lot of reporting on dyslexia in particular. That actually came out of some reporting I was doing about remedial education in college. And how many people get put into those classes. And that kind of, I met some students along the way who had dyslexia. I got interested in dyslexia. So I started this reporting project, which was really focused on why kids with dyslexia have such a hard time getting what they need in school. And what I came to understand in that reporting a couple of years ago is that, you know, what students with dyslexia need is not some different or other thing. That other kind of reading instruction from what other kids need. And I think there's still a lot of misunderstanding out there. You know, what they need is often really intensely and in high doses. They need the same kind of instruction that all kids benefit from. So direct and systematic instruction in how the written code of English works is essentially what everybody needs to learn to be a good reader. So what I came to really realize through this reporting on kids with dyslexia is that a big reason that they're having a hard time getting what they need in public school is that this kind of instruction just isn't happening in a lot of schools. And that there's not really a very clear or full understanding in a lot of schools about how reading works, what kids need to learn to be skilled readers, and thus what is going sort of wrong, quote unquote, with a kid who has dyslexia and how they need more of that. So you know, what I came to understand is that there's not this deep knowledge of basically 50 years of scientific research that shows how reading works in the brain, what kids need to become skilled readers. There's this huge gap between research and practice. And I really have to say, again, that I had been a reporter for a long time before I had that aha. And it was really the moms of kids with dyslexia, the ones who've gotten really active about this, trying to draw attention to what their kids need. They're the ones that pointed out to me that the core problem here is poor reading instruction. These moms have a profound understanding that they're not fighting for some other thing that their kids need. They're fighting for something that all kids need. So recognizing that the source of the problem is that core instruction is a bit off in terms of where we would want it to be with a full understanding of what the research says, you know, led me to the question of why. And why isn't core instruction more closely aligned to what the scientists have figured out about how kids learn to read? And so, you know, a big part of that issue is that teachers are not, for the most part, being taught the science in their teacher preparation program. So that's kind of how I got to the teacher preparation and early reading question.
So, you know, what I love is that it really comes from parent advocacies. I mean, this is when our parents are saying, my kid needs something, and you know what? All kids need something. And I think that's so exciting that this is how your work kind of formed, because as you had said, you've met kiddos and their families and their parents that said, we need more and we need better, and we need more and better for all students, not just my own. So I think that's a really exciting way to kind of lead this work. You know, as you go around and think about this reporting and you're talking to kids, parents, teachers, what are the teachers telling you about how they feel prepared to teach beginning reading skills to kids or to struggling readers?
Yes, yeah, so I've talked to a lot of teachers at this point about this. They have a lot to say when you dig in. And I think this is we'll come back to this. I think teachers are such an important part of this conversation, and mm-hmm. I think how we improve reading instruction in this country. So what I've learned from teachers is what they do tend to learn in their teacher preparation programs is how to assess kids for reading problems, but not really what to do about it. I'm going to put aside whether or not they're learning the best kinds of assessments and the best ways to assess. I think that's an open question too. But there's definitely a focus that I hear from a lot of teachers on assessment, but then they're left with, well, what do I do about it? And they're not told. And they learn a lot about children's literature and how to build a classroom library and how to get kids engaged and motivated about reading, which is important and great. But what is missing there is they don't learn how to explicitly and systematically teach kids how to read the words on the page. And I think while it's great to learn about children's literature and building a classroom library, one of the things we need to think about in teacher preparation is opportunity costs sometimes. And what are the things we really need to be focusing on that will get us the most bang for our buck? Mm-hmm. And a lot of teachers come out of teacher preparation, and some of them know they don't know how to teach reading, and some of them don't know they don't know how to teach reading until it's time to teach a kid, especially a struggling reader, to read. And they're like, I don't know how to do that. And the other thing I think that teachers are not learning, so they're not learning about the science of reading. Mm-hmm. They're not learning how to teach it. And one of the things that I think we need to talk about more is I don't think a lot of them are learning really about the structure of our language, how English spelling works, mm-hmm. morphology, like the deep knowledge that you really need of how our written language works to be able to teach it well to little kids. So I actually just audited an online class on the psychology of reading at Mount St. Joseph's University in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. It's part of a master's level class. And most of the students in it are currently teachers, not all of them, but most of them. And the last 4 weeks of the class, the last like half of the class was all about phonology, the speech sounds of English, how spelling works in English. And from the comments in our online discussion, you know, certainly I thought, and most of these teachers thought, we could have spent the whole class or like a whole year on that. Like it was just the tip of the iceberg in terms of what you need to know. So I don't think in typical teacher prep, what I've heard is that teachers are getting almost none of that.
No.
And I think another problem is it's not just what teachers aren't being taught in terms of how English works, the science of reading, but I think also when I was in online conversations with my classmates in this class, they had a lot of ahas that they had really learned a lot of inaccurate things about reading in their teacher preparation. So it's like the presence of some things that they, you know, didn't know, that they, you know, things like just the idea that most kids will learn to read by reading and that it will come to them in time. That's a very strong idea. Mm-hmm. Some kids do need very little instruction.
But not the majority.
Not the majority, and some kids need a lot. And we don't want to be sending teachers out there with that basic message that you learn to read by reading and it comes in time, because it does not come. And for the kids who it seems to come naturally to, there's a lot of other things in place that make that so, including a lot of direct teaching that I don't think we take into account.
So we're seeing a lot that teachers are self-reporting. They're walking away with perhaps a lack of knowledge of how to provide this direct, systematic, explicit instruction, particularly in the science of reading, how to teach the science of reading. And as you had mentioned, the structure of our English language, you know, that's not something you can acquire in one course. That takes multiple repetitions and multiple practice and multiple conversations and reading in order to learn that. So it's not something that we can give in a one lecture class. It's just not possible because it's such deep content. And you've talked to experts in the field as well. I know you've been around the circuit. You know, we're seeing your name everywhere, so we know that you're talking to experts and experts are reaching out to you. What are they telling you in regards to how kids should be instructed or should be engaged in this instruction of literacy?
Can I get to that in a minute and just tell you a few of the things that I heard from teachers in
Please.
The class that I was in? I wanted to share a few comments because I didn't know if this would resonate with other teachers.
I'm sure it will. So please do.
So I just cut and pasted some things from our online discussion board. So this is an online class. So here are some of the things that my classmates said. I didn't feel adequately prepared to teach reading. This is hard for me to admit because I have several degrees and felt like I should know what I was doing.
Oh.
So this is a big part of the problem. People feel like they have learned what they're supposed to know, and then when they realize that they haven't, it's a hard pill to swallow, and then you realize you've got a lot to learn. Another teacher said, I kept falsely reassuring myself my students weren't making growth because of this reason or that reason, although deep down I feared it was me and my instruction, and I wasn't adequately prepared. It's not that I didn't care. It's that I didn't know any better.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it? It's heartbreaking, some of these things. Please continue. Ugh.
Well, another person who was in this class said it was difficult for me to find a local master's program. The literacy programs at my state universities focus on the whole language approach, and now I'm really wondering why. And this person knew enough to know that they didn't want that. There were actually several people in this class who themselves had children who were struggling readers, which is some of what motivated them to get more information and training as teachers themselves. So when you know a little bit about this and then you start to look around at what's being offered in terms of training and preparation, you can see that you're not getting what you should be getting. So anyway, and then there are things like this, like I felt so angry and guilty when I was finally taught the basics of reading science. I thought, how did you let me teach literacy without knowing this?
Oh.
I know. So anyway, and then I think that that also teachers really realized that there were just a lot of things they didn't know. Like we did a whole lot of stuff about dyslexia, and it just became very clear that a lot of them just didn't have any understanding. They were under the impression, here's one comment, I was under the impression that dyslexia was simply reading letters and words backwards, which is what a lot of people think it is, but we know that it's not. It's based in phonological issues.
It's a common misconception there.
Absolutely. I mean, and one person said, our readings have made me realize that many theories and practices I once thought were effective can be really detrimental to students.
Yeah.
And this was specifically around, you know, the very popular idea that the way that, you know, kids, when they're learning how to read, they can use multiple strategies. They can look at the context. They can use the picture. Or they can look at the first letter to guess the word. This is very, very popular out there. And there's just not a lot of understanding how that does not have any basis in the science of how we actually read words and what we would want to draw children's attention to when they're first learning how to read words.
So the practice isn't necessarily matching up to the research when we have this kind of gulf, this gap between what we know for 30, 40, 50 years, for Pete's sakes, and what's happening in the classroom. There's a big disconnect. And that's what your teachers are reporting to you in the field. And that's what you're seeing.
Right. And I think the other thing is that there's a lot of things that have come to be seen within the world of teaching, within schools, as good practice without realizing how far they actually are away
from the mark.
So the teachers are realizing all the stuff they don't know. And then some of the stuff that they've been doing is really sometimes the opposite of what you should be doing.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to, you know, recognize and then figure out what to do about.
But as you had said, and as some of the classmates that you had said, I didn't know I didn't know. You know, when you don't know you don't know, what are you going to do? You can't recognize it.
Which is why, coming back to, this is not the fault of teachers.
Not at all.
A very big systematic issue. I think almost all teachers, I think all teachers want to help their children learn how to read. And the teachers that I've talked to, when they start to learn this stuff, they're so grateful and they want to know more. So the challenge we have before us, I think, as a nation, is really figuring out a way to get this knowledge to teachers, because a lot of teachers haven't had the opportunity to learn it. And there's a lot to learn. Mm-hmm. And you can't just go off and read some books and articles on your own, because then you have to get up the next day and teach six-year-olds how to read. And you really need support and training and like, well, what do I do? How do I do it?
How do I take this and apply it in a classroom setting? And I want to stop here for a minute, because I want to just pivot. You know, there has been some conversation, and I'm glad you said this. This is no one's fault. We're not looking to lay blame. There has been some conversation around, well, are we just trying to discredit teachers? No. You know, I don't see the work that you're doing and the reporting that you're doing out there as discrediting teachers by any stretch of the imagination. What I do see it as is bringing light to a situation that we have on our hands across the nation, and certainly here in Pennsylvania, bringing light to a situation that says, perhaps we need to look at how we prepare teachers and we need to be doing it differently so that we can have a more positive impact on instruction for our students.
Absolutely. I think this is not a blame game at all.
No.
And I did not come away with that at all, because like I said, when teachers realize what they don't know, they want to know it.
They do.
And then the other thing is that when teachers do learn this and they're given good training and time and support and good materials to back up their new ways of doing things, they see a lot of success with their kids. And it's like amazing. They're like, these kids are really learning to read. They're learning to read better than they were before. I don't have as many struggling readers. I don't have any struggling readers, some of them say. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's a very powerful moment when a teacher can say to you, I didn't know, now I know, I'm now doing better, and look at the outcome on my students. Look at how my students are growing and how, you know, I could put a book in front of them and they're reading it. Truly decoding, pulling print off the page, and then able to have conversations about what they just read about. That's the ultimate goal. That's what we want for all of our students. And the fact that, you know, you're in your reporting and in your work, you're finding teachers that are going through that process and now saying, yep, we know better, we're doing better, look at our positive outcomes. That's very exciting pieces of your work, I'm sure of it. I want to circle back to this expert point here. You've been talking to experts, certainly they've been reaching out to you, you've been reading about their work. Are there any little tidbits that you can offer to our viewers and our listeners in regards to how we should be engaging in learning this material, or how we should be engaging our students in going about in the science of reading?
Well, you know, there is such remarkable consensus among reading scientists about what kids need to learn to become skilled readers. I mean, there's still lots of reading research going on. Papers are published all the time. Yeah. It's a gigantic field, but it's really settled around the basics. So there's really a whole lot of stuff we know about reading. So, you know, your audience is probably in various places in terms of what they know about all of this and where they are. But I mean, you know, the basics come down to kids come to school with language comprehension skills. You know, they know how to speak their native language, and their task when they get to school is to learn the written form of their language. Some kids have a little bit of knowledge about how to do that, some kids have none. But you know, they need to understand that letters and combinations of letters represent speech sounds, so they can decode and encode the words they know how to say. So a really important thing to just get out there is all good readers have good phonics skills. They know how to decode words. Schools can teach those skills, or they can hope that kids get them in some other way. And kids do get them in other ways. Kids do get a decent amount of, some kids get a decent amount of explicit teaching at home. Yeah. Kids from more affluent families who struggle, their parents get them tutoring. And some of these kids look like they're doing well in school, but in fact, thousands of dollars is being spent every year to make sure kids get the kind of direct explicit instruction that they need. So, you know, I think some kids do learn this with very little in-school instruction, but, you know, most kids really need this instruction, and all kids benefit from it, you know, and especially this is something I think we need to talk about more is spelling, because good explicit instruction in the written code helps even those kids who become good readers pretty easily. Mm-hmm. It helps them become better spellers. And I have to say, one of the things that a lot of people say to me is, I'm a good reader, but I'm not a very good speller. And I have to say that if you are not a good speller, you are probably not reading up to your potential. You could be a much better reader. There is such a tight link between phonological skills and orthographic skills. We really need to make that link really tight in school. And this is why this benefits all kids.
Absolutely.
Especially kids who take to this really easily, because especially if you can, I mean, you know, that last 4 weeks that I spent in that class learning about phonology and how the written language works, I mean, all of us were just fascinated. It's completely fascinating. So when teachers really know this in depth, this is fun stuff. Like kindergartners, first and second graders can learn this stuff in a really fun way, and they're cracking a code. So, you know, I think that what we really need to think about in schools, from the research that I've read, from what I know, is that when kids first come to school, teachers really need to focus on teaching kids the written code. I mean, that is the task before children when they come to school. Mm-hmm. All those words they know how to say, kids need to learn to be able to quickly and automatically recognize those words on the page. And that comes through teaching them decoding and kids decoding those words several times and mapping them into their memory so that they're there for quick recall. So, you know, I mean, it doesn't mean that teachers should be focusing only on the written code or teaching phonics.
Exactly.
But we know from the simple view of reading that reading comprehension is a product of that ability to decode and the language comprehension. And kids come to school with very different levels of language comprehension. So focusing on building language comprehension is totally essential. You know, that can be done through read alouds and other kinds of activities that really like focus on knowledge building and vocabulary. So that as you teach decoding, you're actually like raising the bar on the words that kids should be able to recognize through decoding because you're adding to their spoken vocabulary and their knowledge. But when it comes to reading instruction, we should really be focusing on teaching kids to read. And I think these like long running disputes over how to teach reading in this country have focused on this sort of battle between emphasizing meaning in early reading instruction or emphasizing
based.
And one of the, no one disputes that meaning is the ultimate goal of reading. But the question is, how do you get there? And what we know from the reading science is that comprehension requires knowledge of the code. You've got to be able to read the words on the page. The way that kids access the meaning of text is understand that it's a code for speech sounds. And I think what I see when I go into schools and when I talk to people and when I read about it, I think we have an overemphasis on getting kids to extract meaning from text before they're taught how to read the text. Mm-hmm. And we need to kind of relax a little bit and just teach the kids how to read the text, because the comprehension will come as long as you're also focusing on the language comprehension and developing background knowledge. You want to teach those kids to decode up to the level of their language comprehension, and then you want to
continue build
language comprehension.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, I mean, Louisa Moats wrote the famous article that like teaching reading is rocket science, and it is. But sort of on the other hand, it's not so much. Sometimes when I look at what's going on in with reading, it's all made very complicated. And I think we can bring it back down to the simple view of reading. There are these two crucial parts. There's some stuff you really need to emphasize on when kids are little. And it all braids together and comes together when you pay attention to all those pieces. And you know, what's going on in the name of sort of balanced instruction, I think isn't really balanced the way we need it for kids. I think what we're doing is kind of balancing a lot of old ideas about what you need and kind of adding in a little bit of phonics. And that's not really going to do it for most kids.
No, it's just not.
No, and I think that this other thing that's really important is that once you get kids to know the basics of how their written language works and they're good at decoding, this statistical learning thing really kicks in. Like kids really do teach themselves how to read once it's been unlocked for them, you know, at the beginning. And like I said, some kids need a lot of help unlocking it, and some kids need just a little bit and they're off and going. But you know, what we really want is to get kids to that point where that statistical learning kicks in, where they are now, because when kids learn how to decode well early, then the way that they're gaining most of the vocabulary, the way that they're gaining most of their knowledge is through reading. And we sort of have this little cart before the horse thing where we're focused so much on trying to get kids to love reading and not focusing enough on teaching them how to do it. And it's not like every kid who knows how to read loves reading, but you don't love reading if you don't know how to read. The thing we got to focus on is helping kids read the words, because a lot of other things flow from there. And everything in school is based on reading. I mean, it is the foundation upon which all academic learning is built. Every test is a reading test if you're not a good reader. You can't really assess a kid's science knowledge or skills, their social studies knowledge, or even their math knowledge, unless they have good reading skills. I think some of the tests we give on all those other areas are off because of reading, because kids don't know how to read the questions, they don't know how to read the answers. So, I mean, there are no like silver bullets in education. There never will be. But the closest one we've got is teaching kids how to read in kindergarten, first and second grade. And most kids can become pretty good readers by the end of second grade.
Absolutely.
And if a kid's not a good reader by the end of second grade, hopefully that's been figured out long before and they've been working on it. And there's a really, you know, clear path in place about how to get this kid to be a good reader. Because kids with very severe phonological deficits, kids who have severe dyslexia, they can learn to be pretty good readers.
Absolutely.
And good decoders. And many of those kids have a lot of background knowledge and a lot of vocabulary. They can fool teachers in the early grades because they can memorize the little pattern books and make it look like they're reading. Then a lot of things fall apart in third and fourth grade. We just kind of got to get this early reading thing right. I think teachers really deserve it, and kids really deserve it, you know?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. There's a few things you said that I have to highlight because they were just such gems. No one has said that meaning's not important. At no point have we ever said that that's not the ultimate goal of reading. But as you had pointed out, we have to get there. In order to get there, that means we have to be able to pull the print off the page. We have to have those word recognition skills, as you had mentioned, the simple view of reading. The language comprehension piece, we're building up from birth on. But when we start to build on the word recognition piece, we need that Velcro. We need it to be able to attach to something. So I think that was great. And I love that you had said, ultimately, it's about unlocking the code. And we have two choices. We either teach the children how to unlock the code, or we hope they unlock it. What choice do we really have there? You know, it's kind of a no-brainer. We can't just hope and cross our fingers and say, I hope they're going to get it today. We have to explicitly teach so that they can unlock that code and then get to that meaning piece. Because as we had pointed out more than once, all kids can read and all kids deserve to be able to read. And our teachers deserve to have that as well. They deserve to walk into a classroom and say, I know what I'm doing here. May not be easy today because I've got a couple of ones that I'm a little questioning here. But they deserve to be able to have that skill set in order to teach their students to read. So I think those are just some great gems that I want to make sure that we highlight. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the efforts that you have in the field for going out and doing this work and kind of being the pioneer and saying, look, I'm going to go and talk to the kids, the moms, the dads, the teachers, the experts, and really report on this and let this concern we have of across the nation be publicly known and let it get out there in the articles and the reporting that you're doing. So thank you so much for that. I do have one more question for you. Here at Patton, and particularly in Patton Pod, we really strive to grow people professionally. You know, that's our goal, that's our intent, is to help people grow professionally in the field. Do you have any advice for folks in that regard that you want to share with them?
Well, I mentioned it earlier. I really do think that teachers need to speak up about what they haven't been taught. Tell their schools of education, tell their teacher prep programs.
Mm-hmm.
I think people who want to be teachers need good information about what they should look for in a teacher prep program. We really need to figure out a way to do that kind of education for people.
Mm.
And teachers, once they're in the classroom now, who think that they don't have the knowledge or the materials to teach reading well, I think they need to speak up. They need to tell their principals, their superintendents, their school boards. I really think the most powerful voice in all of this is teachers. And there are a lot of good books and articles out there. I've met a lot of teachers who've learned this stuff because they've kind of stumbled upon it, or they went looking actively out of frustration because they had kids who were struggling in their class, or they themselves had a struggling reader. They gave birth to a struggling mm-hmm. reader. They were parenting a struggling reader. So there's tons to read. It's overwhelming. And when teachers start to dive in, I think it can be emotional mm-hmm. and shocking. And, why didn't I learn this? What about all the kids that I was teaching before? And then, what do I do tomorrow when I have to go teach first grade?
Yeah.
So I think we need a real reckoning that we have a very large problem ahead of us as a nation. There's a lot of pieces to this. But teachers really deserve support here. There's this, huge gap between research and practice that we need to somehow build a bridge across. And like I said, I really do think the way to think about this is teachers deserve this knowledge and their students deserve this knowledge. So the entire system needs to figure out how do we get this knowledge to teachers in ways that is empowering to them, because for a lot of teachers there's an initial freak out, an initial feeling of guilt, but then it's really empowering, hey, look at this, look at how much is known about how kids learn to read, look what I could be doing in my classroom to really help this little kid turn that non-reading brain into a reading brain. There's all these really great ways to do it. And so I think for most teachers this becomes really exciting and invigorating after a while, as long as they don't feel like they're alone, as long as they don't feel like they're in a school where no one else is buying it.
Because
that happens. So we need to have, and we need to connect teachers from school to school and across states and across districts and stuff like that. There need to be communities of practice for teachers to really work on this together, I think.
Excellent. So find your voice and speak up. That's the message. Find your voice, speak up, let it be known.
Let it be known. And I think it's not easy for teachers to speak up. There's a lot of reasons not to speak up.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a national conversation going on about this.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people out there who have been doing a lot of work for a long time on this issue. So if you speak up about it, there are people who will hear you. Maybe they are not the people right in front of you. Maybe for right now, it's not your other teachers. Maybe it's not your principal. Maybe it's not your superintendent. But if you speak up, there are people who will hear you. And I think it's teachers have to start there. Speak up to the audiences that can hear them and help them.
Excellent. I think that's great advice, especially since you said there is this national conversation going on. There's a little grumbling, which is a good thing. That's a very good thing. So I appreciate that advice. Thank you so much for your time today and for the work that you do in the field, too. As I can speak for all educators across the nation when I say we so appreciate the attention you brought to this issue and for joining us today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you to those of you in the field. You truly inspire educational growth every day in your students. A special thank you to John Ragsdale for producing this podcast. We'll see you next time on Patent Pod.